Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My guests today are Thunder, who is an advanced quantum mechanics physicist, and Brad Milner, the modern health coach. So first we'll go to Brad.
Right here.
Yeah, and Thunder.
How you doing, brother?
Okay. One of you is really, really loud. The other is not.
We have to pass the mic back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's interesting is that, Brad, when you speak into the microphone, directly into the microphone, I can barely hear you, but when Thunder says something miles away from it, it comes in crystal clear.
Have you ever heard of Silent Thunder?
No, I have not, and ironically, you're not Silent Thunder at the moment either. Okay, so... can you please give us a little bit of a rundown about yourselves? Thunder, let's start with you, because we can hear you more clearly.
Awesome. I'm a farm kid from the Midwest. My background, the fifth farm generation child, grew up in predominantly agriculture-based small town. We raised 20,000 pigs, 5,000 cows. I was Future Farmers of America chapter president for the state of Iowa. I left, I went into college. I studied satellite communication engineering with a minor in quantum mechanics. I left, I was employed immediately at MCI as a top worldwide troubleshooter. Resigned and went to Hughes Electronics and worked in the DirecTV switching satellite systems. Corporate America just wasn't my gig, and I knew that. So I went into I went to work at CORE, the Center of Reverse Engineering in Beverly Hills. I've worked in the exotic technology fields behind Russia, Japan, and German work. And then I went to the Video Gaming Academy in Hollywood, where I taught liquid animation motion physics. In my spare time, as if I had some, I was dabbling as a backyard scientist into a unique quantum mechanics field and pioneered a zero-point energy state, which we broadcast frequencies in a hologram. I've set a couple of world records in pollution reduction, as well as EMF cell phone radiation reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm happy to say I can do it via text message. You can literally send a text message to your cell phone. You hold the image next to your phone, next to your gas tank or water. Whatever the hologram or the quantum entanglement frequency is for that particular code. Hey, you hold your cell phone next to the bottom of your gas tank, and literally within 5 minutes, you have dryer-like steam coming from your exhaust. This is a solution to pollution. I know your show dabbles in the, how do we say?
Everything?
Fight against the big boys. I'm proud to stand against the big boys.
Yeah.
Because I didn't sell out. Mitsubishi offered me $80 million to walk away. I declined.
Mm.
Because my grandkids need oxygen.
Everybody need oxygen, man.
I can't put a price on the world's air supply.
Yeah.
My goals, as are extreme as my science, my goal is to see my name in the history book next to the word pollution and smog.
Most people wouldn't like that association, but you seemed like a rather ironic character, just in general.
I'm pretty advanced out there, bro. Don't be fooled. This is my real hair. I'm not some idiot surfer.
Oh, yeah. Because it's interesting because when people think of physicists and quantum mechanics and what have you, that's exactly what comes to mind. You know, you've got your head in some kind of a device just sitting there twiddling and what have you. No friends or social skills and what have you. Just living in your own head and slightly to one side, more or less. You appear to have broken that mold, not only in the point of fact that you appear to have different personality and character traits to most of the people in your field, but you've indeed managed to, it seems, upon first impression, that you seem to have struck a very delicate balance between the two worlds.
I'm a spiritual warrior, brother.
It's the applied part. Yeah.
I'm an applied scientist. I'm not a theoretical physicist. I don't sit in a room and wonder what billions and billions of galaxies far away could possibly be or how old they are. I'm a little more practical. I look at science in a way to solve world problems. Yeah. Today on your show, I'd like to give away all of your fans a free gift. A free gift via text message that will protect you from chemtrails. Chemtrails are being sprayed by a company called Evergreen Logistics. I have photographed chemtrails. I have used biophoton resonant vibration frequencies to extract the element that is being sprayed in our sky. And I took each one of those harmful toxins, and I tuned in the negative effect to render them inert. They can fall from the sky and land on me, but I don't get sick. I've worked in cell phone radiation to send you a text message so that your phone is a safe device. With over 60,000 recipes that I have digitally wrote the algorithms for in the last 10 years, it is the most complete line of science known to date. Quite proud, not arrogant. I'm a very humble man, but I'm a very determined man to hit each and every one of my goals. My creation of what I call Digimeds, digital medicine, comes via text message. But I can't use a dirty cell phone to try to heal you. Make sense? So what we're going to do instead is I send a EMF radiation block that you put on the wallpaper of your cell phone. This will allow the cell phone signal to work, but it blocks the dangerous EMF radiation that comes off of cell phones. With 5.6 billion cell phones in the world. We'll start there. Now, your phone is clean and a good environment for us to send text message images directly to your phone that you hold next to water for about a minute. The energy will then transduce about 8 to 10 inches, and the frequency will then hold inside the water. Water is like a memory stick. Okay? You take the water and you induce it. The body breaks it down. You're going to have a pair of hydrogens on one side and an oxygen left over. But you're also going to have intrinsic data. And that's what we program when we send the text.
It's
the body doesn't know what to do with it.
So it's sort of similar to a... it's I'd call it digital homeopathy.
Thank you. Exactly what it is. The perfect understanding of what we have, yes. So, once the neuron receives that information, in quantum mechanics, it is information that tells matter how to behave. So, neuron gets information, doesn't know where it came from, but, hey, we got our orders, so...
So neurons get information the same way that morons do.
Same exact way, brother. So
junk DNA.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the junk DNA. Now the body then whistles up and calls upon the stem cells to do its job. The adaptogen, for lack of a better word, is programmed into the stem cell to take it to where it is needed in the body. At little by little, it's chipped away. Little by little, the stem cells repair the body, and you simply piss away the waste. We are water in, water out. Digital medicine via text message. The simply most advanced technology on our planet today.
Sounds pretty friggin' awesome. Now, so we've been introduced to you, Thunder. What about your colleague here?
Brad, let me turn you over to the man that I'm glad is on my team. This man knows everything when it comes to frequencies and how to heal the body. Mm-hmm. Brad?
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having us on, and... yeah, my name is Brad Molnar. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, an environmental scientist. Did 13 years of remediation and consulting oversight for military bases, gas stations, dry cleaners all over the country. Cleaned up Ground Zero personally in the pit, buildings all around it. Have seen it, have cleaned it up. And since I had knee surgery, hip surgery, chiropractic as a kid in a car crash in 07, the last decade I've done over 20,000 hours of research in health, wellness, free energy, and NWO states of affairs. And started 4 or so years ago, modernhealthcoach.com, which is product, services, information. I went back to school for kinesiology and invested in a lot of high-tech healing apparatuses, life stream generator, right frequencies, LEDs, ozone, far infrared sauna. And actually, I lived in L.A. and Thunder and I lived in L.A. at the same time, and I was working with some of his old companies, and we've been kind of dancing around each other out in L.A., involved with his technology 5 years ago at least, something like that. And we all know all the same people. We met out here in Sedona, Arizona about six months ago.
Yeah.
And kind of kicked it off and put two and two together and got 22 and are kicking it here live. We teamed up here, and Thunder and I have brought out some new products recently on the website. We just did an Ormus card, LED.
What is that website?
ModernHealthCoach.com. Yeah, www.modernhealthcoach.com. I have gone up and down the aisles of the expos. I have looked high and low. I have been on a quest to fix my ship. It was sinking. I listened to doctors. They had the surgeries. The physical therapist, just listen to me, pay my boat bill, you know, put you through the racket. I got spit out and was pissed off. I turned my science degree loose on health, fixed my own problems, and now I'm doing it for other people as a way of life. And, yeah.
I've read about people like you, too. Usually in the, what's it called, in the obituary section. after some kind of terrible and suspicious accident.
Yeah. Well, you know, I turn lemons into lemonade. You know, I have a very positive outlook, and I wasn't let a doctor in a white lab coat tell me that I need hip surgery and I need a replacement when I'm, you know, 50 and just turned 40 years old and just hit my stride, you know. And
as it did.
Yeah, so, you know, like I'm saying, take the best and leave the rest, and I have been on a quest for the best. And working with this guy is a good big part of it. So pretty excited to roll out our affiliate program on the website. We're offering people 44% and 22% on the first and second tiers to get involved and spread this technology. It's no good if you can't share it. We got to get all this out there. This is part of the regime. You got to have the quantum scalar cards and holograms on you, on your water, on your gas tank. And that starts the whole process, and it's a different part that people don't really think is possible. You know, when you say you can, like, listen, I have a 96 Cherokee 4.0 six cylinder. I blew a 0.0 on my carbon monoxide and nitrogen oxides on a Cali State smog test result to prove it. 0.0 from a Cali State smog test result on a big ass Cherokee. You know, so it is real. It is happening. We're getting great feedback all the time. I love it when I check the inbox and people are saying, yes, great, we're getting repeat customers, it's happening. Thunder's been at it for 10 years in his own right, I've been at it for 10 years in my own right. We're teamed up here and we're bringing it to the world, so we're pretty stoked to get this opportunity to talk about it.
Let me guess, climate change activists think that you're crazy and prefer taxation instead to solve the pollution problem.
Yeah, you know... After I went to the EPA testing facility in Santa Ana, California Environmental Engineering Lab, in the last 30 years, nobody has reduced diesel pollution more than 2%.
That's sad.
And you've managed to eliminate it completely.
Yeah, we take it completely to zero. On the first 5 minutes, I put a small postage stamp-looking hologram on the bottom of the gas tank, and we dropped emissions 40%.
Do you have a corresponding increase in fuel efficiency or economy?
It's a mathematical equation. If you reduce emissions, you increase efficiency.
Can I say something? Because the Pogue carburetor, you've heard of this, the vaporizing carburetor?
Our carburetor they invented in the 1970s is now locked up in Exxon's legal department. Yeah, we heard of it. You atomize the fuel.
Yeah,
burn
yeah.
Fuel chips, not logs. They burn a lot quicker.
Indeed. And what my friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine told me is that I think it was like 99% of pollution is simply unburned hydrocarbons that your normal engine would waste. So you're not getting an increase of 99% efficiency, though, are you?
Well, actually, what we're doing here, think of it this way. What doesn't get cooked inside your engine, it's 600 to 800 degrees. Okay. Now, the flash point or that melting point of some of those trace toxins are 1500 to 3000 degrees. So, what doesn't get stuck on your engine cylinder head, trapped in the catalytic converter, comes out in the form of smog and pollution that we see today. Mm-hmm. What I did is I analyzed the gasoline and I found 78 trace toxins and 84 trace toxins in diesel fuel. And what I simply did then is one at a time, I took each one of those toxins and rendered them its negative effect.
Inert,
yeah. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you have carbon monoxide is a 100 omega frequency, okay, for instance. We take a negative 100 omega frequency, and now it has lost its, it's like Superman around kryptonite. It's lost its properties. So that when it hits the engine, those impurities simply implode. Mm-hmm. We burn 100% of them through.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't stop there. It also starts to clean up the catalytic converter and what's stuck on side your engine. And it doesn't also stop there. because the air that is brought in through the air intake system, matching with the gas, it renders those particles inert.
And if you're driving in LA, that air that's going in through your intake is polluted too.
This becomes an air purifier.
Yeah.
It cleans up the air.
So it's a complete 360 using technology with fossil fuel burning engines. We don't want to disrupt the fragile economic system, so we embrace it. Our carbon credits are now worth $5,000 a year by simply putting one of our products on the gas tank. Well, that's really handy when it comes to making car payments, isn't it? Aha!
And also, that's $5,000 you don't have to give the New World Order so that they can purchase technology to surveil and enslave you.
It's
a win-win.
Yeah.
The New World Disorder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I think they are actually rather orderly in the extermination sense of the word.
Well, not anymore. They didn't encounter a monkey wrench like me.
Yeah.
I'm the game changer when it comes to fixing what I see is wrong with our problems. So let me kind of go down some of the list of things that I've gotten into. Not only pollution and cell phone radiation, which are the only two lab report world records that I've done. I don't have to go out and do 60,000 lab reports for 60,000 products, do I? I think after a while people are going to catch on.
Yeah.
So I've looked at the chemtrail situation, rendered it inert. I've looked at the smart meter situation and found a very good solution. I've looked at the health therapy because I don't need to go to the FDA. I have a FCC issue. My technology, text therapy. And my attorneys assure me that I can send a text message to every country in the world. So the FDA doesn't have to get involved.
Well, that's good.
It stands for effing dumb A's.
What was the name? Dr. Rima Labo told me is that it's the Fraud and Death Administration. Incidentally, I had a conversation with her earlier this week, and we were talking about the world's problems, about the chemtrails and the pollution and so on and so forth. And I said to her, you know what happens traditionally throughout history? One genius always pops up at certain points throughout history where they'll take a problem which everybody thinks is impossible, which nobody understands, and find a very simple solution just like that. And we kill those people. You know?
Good thing I got a couple of giant 4th and 5th dimension Yetis taking care of me, brother.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what you call an abominable snowman that works for the mafia?
Uncle Vic.
A console Yeti.
You also call him Yeti.
Abomination.
All right. Now, speaking of which, if we're talking about the advanced technology that you have created, you have vetted it, the next stage in thing is production and distribution. And you said that you have an affiliate program of what 22%, then 44%. So what was it? Could you explain that?
Yeah, it starts off, we're offering people 44%. So if I were to sign you up, Vinny, and you were to get your friend to buy, when your friend clicks on the referral link that you send him and they buy, you get 44% of that sale. For on a $100 gas chip, if you're signed up under the program, which is free, when you sign up and you sell that, we're giving you 44% of that sale. Now, if you sign up and that friend who bought the $100 gas chip likes it and he signs up and he sells it to his friend, then when that friend gets it, he gets 40%, 44%, and you get 22%. So that's the two-tier system that we have. We're going wide, not deep on it. We want to get it out there, and we're definitely cutting everybody in on a very generous kickback.
So it's two-tier only.
Two-tier only. Yeah,
it fits the traditional wholesale retail business model very comfortably. without the traditional scams that come with multi-level marketing or problems that come with it. I've done a few test markets in my day, and the affiliate program was the most successful. There's no inventory. Hey, I use this, and let me tell you about it, and you get paid. Very simple.
Yeah, we made it for the show and tell, to have that show part, we made that a lucrative part for you, to have like a software starter pack where you get a few of everything. You get the thermal, you get a gas, you get a couple healing different codes, and then you can go out and you know, have your own story to tell them about how it helped you, and then you can share the technology and do very well for yourself in the process. And we've got about 18 products up now. Just create a few more. Thunder's been hanging out with me this week, and we've been cranking on some stuff now. Just came, just started a Lyme frequency protocol with 235 codes in it. Came up with the Ormus code, gold, silver, copper, platinum, 83 trace minerals, all in one postage size hologram. You know, look something like this, bud.
Oh, yeah, the MHC validity card.
Vitality.
Okay.
A little shaky there. I got
right hand. Oh, yeah, so, we got it. Yeah.
And here's our best healing code here.
MHC Gold Eagle.
That has like 18,000 codes in it. So we've put them on cards, or we have the sticker, depending on which one. And we've got enough recipes out there to make your life change, you know,
instantly,
in a quantum scalar nanosecond.
And of course, these are all individually based. You haven't pioneered a suburban broadcasting card or something of that nature where you could cover your whole street or something of that.
Yes. I use that in my my agriculture program. What I can do is, are you familiar with the Bluetooth speaker boxes?
Not overly. You'll have to.
Sorry. It's called a Jawbone or like a Jam Box, and you basically use it to broadcast jam tunes and also talk into. Here you go.
Looks like this.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Kind of like an iPod dock.
Yeah.
Right, like a booster.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, they're very loud. And now, Bose had one that it wasn't as good as Jawbone's brand. Bose didn't have a microphone on it. So you can use it as a Bluetooth wirelessly and talk into it in the car, wherever you go, and it's very loud. So what I can do is I can send a code frequency to your cell phone that broadcasts an infrared signal, and we use it in our frequency fertilizing system. So that I can, I send a tone, beep, and we record it back on our end. I'm able to bounce it off the soil, and I'm able to tell by a biophoton resin, I'm able to tell the element makeup, chemical makeup of the soil. Then I simply build the adaptogens that the soil needs for optimal growth. We've seen a 80 to 300% increase in yields in 27 different varieties of plants.
Now, conceivably, it would work on nearly every type of organic material, wouldn't it?
It works on organic and inorganic material. Absolutely. PVC and wood. Give you two examples. Well, I can place a hologram sticker on your air conditioner vent. And you take a laser infrared thermometer and get the temperature coming out. Most ACs are running between 60 and 64 degrees. I can place a sticker on the vent, and 5 minutes later, that air is coming out at 45 degrees. Isn't that fun?
Measurable. Noticeable.
You set them on the windows on a hot... Like I was down in Phoenix last summer cleaning house in all of the restaurants down there. You got you know, windows outside in Phoenix in the summer. The temperature on those glasses were about 165 degrees. Outside temperature is 118 degrees. The inside temperature is 114 degrees. We put a sticker on them and drop the inside temperature down to 81. You know what that does to your heating and cooling costs?
Like halves them?
Ah, cuts them in half. I say a third to be safe. I don't need the claims, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I underpromise, always overdeliver.
The kind of the opposite of Barack Obama.
And a Nobel Prize winner, by the way.
Oh my God! What a
oh yeah.
Before he even did anything, just getting elected, he got a prize.
Yeah.
Then he sent a couple hundred thousand more troops into Afghanistan. I mean, come on, where's the peace, brother?
Yeah. I bombed 18 countries, and I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. That makes a shockingly large amount of sense.
I'm not looking for the Nobel Prize because they overlooked some of my great intellectual idols in the past.
Mm.
I don't believe Tesla got a Nobel Prize.
Mm.
He's been responsible for the AC and radio wave.
Free energy.
Nah, we can't give that guy a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, because then people might actually look into his technology and realize that it actually works and it's quite simple and puts the massive evil Rockefeller-controlled oil companies and their J.P. Morgan banking cohorts out of business. Oh, that would just be a shame, wouldn't it?
What do you mean give people away free electricity?
You need the meter.
Well, free is just another word for socialist.
You don't make money? If nobody had a electric bill in the last 100 years, and we put that money in the front yard, there'd be a pile of cash in everybody's front yard.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Now,
so I signed the Aqua Terratron as a free energy power plant that delivers 700 megawatts of power, or enough electricity for about 500,000 homes.
Now, is this the wireless transmitting technology that Tesla pioneered? You can transmit electricity wirelessly with a receiver?
Absolutely.
Because I recall, I don't know, maybe you can confirm or deny this for me, that he was concerned about it because it had inherent dangers, much like we have wireless dangers now, which incidentally your technology addresses. Is that true? Was there a danger with it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if it was a danger, you've got the technology to counteract the danger of it, so it kind of solves the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, on smart meter, for instance, and for all your listeners who are troubled by this, let me give you some background. We have a 3G and a 4G cell phone. Your smart meter is considered a 10G on steroids and a very dangerous thing to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 40 yards that are going to go directly through your house. So if your smart meter is sitting outside your house and your refrigerator is on the inside, yummy, pass me the cookies.
Yeah.
If your bedroom is there and you're getting shot with this all night long, hey, come on.
TMJ.
Well, a friend of mine, former BBC journalist Steve Hart, who now lives in New Zealand, was running a test on this to see what the range of these radio frequencies, these pings that were going out, and he determined it was about 32-kilometer range. So that means every house within 32 kilometers is sending out a ping that goes 32 kilometers in every direction.
There's your 10G. Yeah.
That's 10G.
Yeah.
But here's what you do. You got your, let me get something to, give me a little round thing here. Here's your smart meter. Okay? It's on the outside of your house. Sitting right there.
Yeah.
Okay? You take a mirror and turn it around and place it on the inside of the house so that the mirror is facing the wall.
Outside.
Now, you've taken the signal sideways in through the frame and the insulation, and it doesn't penetrate into your home. Get one of our very affordable stickers, peel it off, put it on the breaker box door, shut it, you're done. And we take out all the transients in your electricity line. Transients, by the way, are an overcharge. Let's take a 9-volt battery. We know, we test it with our multimeter, and we're not even getting 9 volts. We're getting 8.7, okay? Now, we take a board and we drop a resistor on it. That represents a big screen TV. We set a second resistor on there, and that represents Miss High Maintenance in the bathroom turning on the hair dryer. And you know how your TV kind of goes, whoa, whoa, okay? Well, when you put your multimeter on the second resistor, for a quick second, that is going to spike up to 17.5 volts. Come on, it's a 9-volt battery. We know there's not 17 volts coming out of there.
It's just not possible.
So, what's the difference between my multimeter and the meter on the side of your house?
That's a good quiz. I don't know.
Nothing.
Nothing?
So the utility company thinks you use more electricity than you did because we use because of the copper wiring and the transients that are in there.
Oh, we're talking about dirty waste electricity. In fact, I filmed a presentation by Dr. Don Mesh, PhD, about the smart meters, and there was a question asked from the audience about whether or not, because current meters, they only measure the direct current of electricity that you actually use, and the question from the audience was, do the smart meters also measure and charge for that dirty waste electricity that the analog meters don't? And Paul Waddell, who's one of only three people who tests for EMF radiation in New Zealand, I think it's homesafe.co.nz, I think is his website, he had colleagues in Australia that had tested and confirmed that, yes, the smart meters are in fact charging for dirty electricity, and in some cases people are winding up with 2 to 3 times the normal power bill.
We put our stuff on there, and we're dropping 1/3 of your electric bill, so they pay for it 2 months.
Yeah,
that's a dirty, dirty secret. Yeah, that needs to get out.
Mm. You know? I don't suffer from analog anxiety.
Mm.
A lot of the old timers do.
Mm.
I was going to school right at the cusp of when digital technology hit, and when we would sit around in college after school, you know, me and my roommates, we were planning about what we were learning 20 years ago. And I was like, guys, I mean, I don't think these teachers are even aware of what they're teaching us here. But this digital thing means we can make the new rules.
Yeah.
And we have.
Well, it's the old saying, what do those who can't do? They teach.
They teach. My former partner is a PhD nuclear physicist from Yale. We don't need nuclear physicists, so I really didn't need him anymore. Today? Well, he teaches biology in a college.
I don't get that. You know, it's just like, okay, I know about radiation and how to give people cancer, so now I teach you about biology.
Speaking of nuclear power, by the way, let's address the big F over there in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with my very good friend? And, you know, people have friends, but then you have friends that you have I know you trust kind of thing. I trust the bank. I give them my money. And, you know, I trust tomorrow morning they'll be there. But you know what? I don't invite them to my house because I hate those guys.
Yeah. Bank. I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then there's the people who you trust and you have, I know you trust. And my very good friend, what I consider a bestie, is the great Dr. Patrick Flanagan.
It rings a bell.
Oh, Pat Flanagan is the who's who godfather, one of the top 10 scientists ever. Created the neurophone.
Nikola Tesla reincarnated.
Yeah, he's Tesla reincarnated.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And he's out here in the Sedona area.
He builds a beautiful device that I wear proudly every day called a Sensor 5. If I can get that steady.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Marine motto, Semper Fi.
Sensor 5 is a five-sided, these are all pyramids. And what I did is I put my hologram then on the back side of it to amplify it about another 150,000 codes. Now, Dr. Pat Flanagan, he has a portable Geiger counter. So we took it out to Mingus Mountain out here in near Sedona, Arizona.
There's actually a mountain called Mingus?
Mingus. Ed Mingus, an old prospector out here. Yeah. Copper produced half of the world's copper for 100 years in Jerome. Now a ghost town. Hippies came in the 60s and recolonized it. And it's worse.
He must have been teased at school and called some form of dingus, but yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
Mingus. You dingus?
Mingus, the dingus! I could see it now.
So we took core samples using a handheld Geiger counter. This isn't the $150 Radio Shack version you find. This is a $17,000 piece of equipment.
Holy cow.
Which we were able to identify the Iridium-142 and or 192 isotope, which is associated with Fukushima.
Mm.
We also found 10 unknown to the element chart. Wonder where that could be sprayed from. And what we realized is that the higher up we go, the higher the saturation of radiate belt lies in layer. So for your stewardess and your pilots, you're not aware of this, but you have a very dangerous job.
To more cosmic radiation, let alone nuclear.
So what we did...
Well, in fact, you remember there was a TV show back in the 70s or 60s called Pan Am or something like that with all these beautiful hot stewardesses.
Yeah.
Watching a comedian...
Come on.
Allegedly. And I was watching this comedian, I think it might have been Bill Burr or C.K. Lewis, one of them, and he said, I don't think any of those ladies ever retired. And he saw one of these very, very elderly stewardesses using the drinks cart as a mobility scooter.
A walker cart.
Yeah. Well, she's given you your little tiny bottles of booze. You know, and like airplane suites out of an old brass container.
Coffee, tea, or meds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Off topic. Continue.
And so that's all right, brother. That's why we do this. Yeah. I can play. You know, we could have a boring show, and I have everybody asleep. But you know, that's not what we do here. We're here to entertain, as more importantly, you know, inform.
I've also found that when you're laughing, it cuts away the brain's firewalls. You know what I'm saying? You've always got these defenses up when new ideas, particularly very controversial ideas and new discoveries that are virtually borderlining on magic and unbelievability, like yourself. I find that if you can laugh about things during broadcasts like this, you actually make people more susceptible to accepting the program. To a degree, in a good way, rather than accepting brainwashing.
Yeah, thank you. I like to coin the phrase, I'm the Eddie Van Halen of quantum mechanics. I'm 45 this year. This is my real hair. My dad was bald at 22. He died at 49 years of age of obesity. He was 5'7" and 320 pounds with a 62-inch waist.
62.
Hey, guy could bench press 450, though. I wouldn't mess with him. he's a big farm boy from Iowa. Now, I'm not bald. I'm not overweight. Why? It's not hereditary. Balding is a parasite. It was discovered in 1906 by a scientist. So I pulled the frequency of that parasite, and I put it on my shampoo bottle. I got great hair. Pretty proud of it.
Oh, it's so silky.
I'm 6 foot. I'm 6 foot four. I weigh 195 pounds.
I'm 6 foot two.
You're big boys. I'm 6'1". Shit.
I'm not overweight because I cook 2.2 pounds of fat cells out of my body using frequency. That beautiful cart here, yeah, it's just, it's a coaster. It looks like a CD. We burn them like a CD. And production, you touched earlier, with my current capabilities are a 2.8 million holograms in a 24-hour period I can manufacture. I can send 5.6 billion cell phones instantly. That I don't have manufacturing, shipping, or inventory there. That's convenient. So a majority, what I call the cutting edge of my hologram work, it's now obsolete.
And if you were a gardener, you'd be on the cutting hedge.
Well, I was Future Farmers of America chapter president of the state of Iowa 4 years in high school. And Iowa is, I mean, that's the agriculture capital of the Midwest.
Which reminds me, the family farm is becoming, shall we say, an endangered species. With Agenda 21 and all of these sort of things. I remember... What did you say?
Get Monsanto out.
Yes. Shut them down. In fact, would you be able to have a sticker, like a real sneaky, like a clear hologram sticker that you can stick on Monsanto employee trucks or something like that, you know, just like real, just a sneak in there, just stick, slap it on their truck or something like that, and it turns them into not a douchebag?
Conscious?
You know?
Thai Frankenfood.
It awakes their brain.
Like the Monsanto employee gets into his truck and it's like, oh my God, I'm working for Satan.
if Monsanto would like to save tremendous money annually in their fuel expenditure.
Well, you don't want to help them. You don't really want to help them.
And you come in and slip in the anti.
Put it on their trucks that way.
Well, it just makes it much cheaper for their trucks to go to the family farms to confiscate them when their GMO corn gets blown by the wind onto it.
I was from one of the most innovative pioneered farm families in the Midwest. And, you know, we threw away a plow in... 2 years before I was born, back in 69, I never even actually got to pull one behind a tractor. We started buffalo tillage and minimum tillage because my granddad realized that the topsoil was washing down the Missouri and Mississippi River.
Yeah, we're losing a lot of topsoil.
And our precious topsoil is what we need for fertile ground. And so we, you know, we pioneered these methods, and we were top producers, not in the fields aspect, because we had 700 acres that we needed just to grow our farm livestock. We were a livestock company, and we built the country's very first farrowing unit that was indoors. The pigs actually never saw the sun until the day we took them to market.
I don't know what a farrowing unit is. You forgive my ignorance.
Birthing hospital for pigs.
A what?
Birthing.
Ah, okay, yeah.
The delivery room.
Yeah.
And until those pigs were born, until they went to the market, they didn't even know about a sun. They didn't know hot weather, cold weather. They had cushioned 72 degree absolute with a cleaning system that was all automatic. You push a button on the breaker box and the whole floor is cleaned out. It scraped it right out and into tanks that we would spray on our field for fertilizer.
As opposed to dumping it into the river or the Gulf of Mexico, as many enormous piggeries are doing now, which is causing havoc, really. I'm aware that there's a what they call a dead zone during certain seasons in the Gulf of Mexico at the moment, allegedly caused by a lot of this this runoff and pollution.
Yeah, it's a serious problem, and the monoculture agribiz, you know, is perpetuated by everyone going to the grocery store and feeding their face on frankenfoods and feeding into that, you know, and that's why there is aeroponics and aquaponics and other methods. It's going back to the house, going back to the small scale, not going into the system. DIY is vogue here, you know. That's what it's learning about. It's self-empowering in solving your own problems, but the price of food's going up, the price of gas is going up, and the dollar is going deflated. You gotta work longer, and you gotta cost more to feed you, and cost more to heat and food, fuel and get you around town. So that's where the wage slave is brought in, and then we're just, you know, paying to heat and feed our faces, and people are left at wit's end. No wonder they're stressed, broke, and sick and fat and in debt.
And the only thing you can eat is poison. I went into the supermarket the other day, and I set aside a mission for myself to try and find some food that wasn't poison. It was quite difficult.
In a regular grocery store?
In a grocery store?
Yeah, 99%. You got to go to the organic produce, and even that's just Farmer's a paper
market.
Label. That's a paper label. No one's checking for organic. It's just a stamp that, you know, is you know.
Yeah.
That's why DIY, you know what you're putting into it. You know?
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, and it's a big learning curve for a lot of people because we're all trying to chase the buck to have the security, but... We've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. We're trying to ease that curve with these technologies to, you know, make the plants produce more, make your fuel costs go down, make your heating costs go down, not be exposed to as much radiation or chemtrails. This is where this technology comes into play.
Can I say something? It's about relationships and community, two things that have been gradually over the past few decades been systematically destroyed. I said on my show the other day that community is as important to the human body as vitamin C, and currently our society is suffering from a form of community scurvy.
That's beautiful, because they isolate you in a room and pump you with fear in the television and on the radio, and the technology, people hide behind their texts, and no one really talks to anybody anymore. They just shoot texts and Facebook blurbs and little thumbs up and likes and smiley faces.
Yeah, I mean, people are like ships passing each other in the night.
Exactly. You know, it, because they're caught up in the rat race, and they're trying to make ends meet, and they have, you know, everyone's hustling to make the buck and to feed their kids, and community is what is the answer, and that's where it's why it's going back to the farms. Is, you know, in the long run, the Venus Project, say, something like that, where it's a community-based, you know, let the elements, let the land heal you, work with the nature, man's not separate from it, we're a part of it, you got to work with it.
Well, you see that double helix, that one there behind you? That's actually how life is supposed to be lived. Everything intertwining, working together as one. It's separate, but it's still one.
Right. Well, now we're all separated, isolated, pumped with fear and confused, fat, sick, and broke. And we don't know that's empowering them. We need to self-empower with the knowledge, the info, the technology, and the basic, you know, good old-fashioned elbow grease or hard work or, you know, just getting back to basics here, not getting caught up and spit out in the system.
Mm. You know, if people go to the farmer's market, get to know your grower.
Yeah, that was actually another point that I was going to make as well. I'm sorry, continue.
You know what? He might even give you 2-for-1 oranges if you come there 3 weeks in a row. I don't think Albertsons will do that.
No.
They don't care. In fact, they want you to join a little card club. I'm not a part of your club, no.
Well, what do they use those cards for? They use it for market research to track what you buy so that they can send you emails to try and sell you more crap.
Exactly.
So, learn who your farmer is. Learn who your grower is. See what his expertise is.
You know, it's actually quite interesting. If you go to a supermarket and you get a card, the company learns who you are. If you go to a farmer's market and you get to know a farmer, you get to know who the farmer is.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Turn the tables.
What are you feeding your chickens out there before I eat these eggs?
Dead chickens.
Probably. Well, I feed them dead chickens. Okay, next.
Hey, well, here, I know, actually, what's a, I came up with a chicken joke a while ago, what was it? Oh, yeah, what's a chicken's favorite type of classical, what's a chicken's favorite classical musician?
Eddie Van Halen.
Bach!
Bach!
Oh, lovely. Yeah, hey, wait, what was the other
Let's
one?
Let's go to classical music and plants for a second, if we may.
Like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, true, yeah.
Now, here's the biggest BS that's out there. You see, there were a team of doctors at UCLA, I believe is where that case was tested. If not, it might have been those idiots up at Yale. Anyways, so they played rock music and they played classical music, right? And what did these nerds find out? That classical music made the plants grow better.
Did they not try a control experiment by playing perhaps classic rock?
Well, now, yeah, exactly. I'll play anything. Now, I do not prefer listening to classical music. I really enjoy great rock music.
He's a rock guy.
Now, the plants in the observer in this case is the provider of the light and the water. You are God to your plants. They worship and love the wonderful rock guy that walks around and is happy. If you played classical music around me, the plants are going to realize that I don't really dig that music. So the case that it's complete BS. They liked classical music, and they were out to destroy rock in their experiment. Okay? You play rock music in my house, in my plants, with my frequency fertilizer, and I'm not a green thumb. I got a green body. I think I know the plant business a little better than the average bear.
I was thinking about this, actually, quite funny. You said that we are gods to our plants, and what that reminded me of is a scene from Wayne's World where Wayne and Garth meet Alice Cooper, and they go, "We're not worthy! We're not worthy!"
Metal gods.
The plants know what they sense the vibe. Now, plants, for instance, before the sun comes up, you have what is known as infrared in the sky. And the infrared is triggering the photosynthesis process, which brings up the nutrients from the plant and absorbs the moisture that was collected overnight. Because suck it up, boys. The sun's coming up. We gotta hold water today. Okay? Now, what I do is I hit infrared frequency every hour on the hour. The plant doesn't know that the sun's not coming up or not. We play birds music. We blast infrared on the plants via Bluetooth. Isn't that cool? I send infrared via Bluetooth on your cell phone. And we increase the yield considerably. It's like doing 24 push-ups a day instead of one.
Mm.
Get more buff.
Now, a friend of mine, he told me about this bit of technology that he was developing. It's a rotating PVC pipe that's packed with soil, and then you put all the plants in it. You drill holes in all of it, and you put a weed mat over so that the plants can grow out of the pipe, and they're all in a 360 degree format, kind of like a spiral. And then you have an LED light panel above the pole and a rotator. And as it rotates very, very gently, the plants always grow towards the light. And he found that you could increase the speed of plant growth by up to 700%.
Wow.
I thought that was very cool.
I'd really like to look into that.
Somebody
who's been in agriculture, you know what, bro? Thank you. That's something I've never heard of.
Hey, it's an idea and it's not patented. Steal it.
I don't believe in patents. You know what the patent has done? the you know, I hope our federal government, if they really want to wake up justices, you know, do something right and abolish the patent. Because here's what the patent does. It limits you to do business only in the United States. I got a great idea, so I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper so that China and India can go to the patent.gov website. And next week, it's at Target. So what am I going to do? Go over, knock on the emperor's door and say, will you guys please stop making these things? I got the patent. Good luck on that. Okay? It's a joke.
And the patent would cue them in as to what technology they can suppress next. Yeah. It's like a clearinghouse for which next to whack-a-mole. What's coming up next?
I saw the patent office as a technology gatekeeping, more or less. If somebody comes up with a piece of technology that's incredibly amazing, will actually change the world and threaten the current power base of the establishment, it gets suppressed. If they come up with a piece of technology that's really amazing and really cool and can make a lot of money for people without threatening the power of the establishment, it gets stolen. You know, nobody benefits. Or more to the point, actually, the creative people don't benefit.
Right.
Yeah, I've created a lot of great things out there. I own zero patents. I don't believe in them. And you know what? Some of my best friends who are the leading scientists today, they wouldn't patent this either.
Well, patenting is about saying, I own this idea in virtual perpetuity, and humanity has no right to access it or be benefited by it without my say so. That occurs to me to be inherently greedy and selfish to a large degree, as opposed to selfless and humanitarian, which is what traditionally most scientists who have come up with the greatest breakthroughs throughout history had ideas that they gave away for free. And I think there's an old saying, kindness is a sign of weakness.
I don't believe that one.
I thought that saying was created by somebody who was trying to justify the perpetual scumbaggery.
I agree.
It's like on the playground, it's the bullies beating up the geeks. The geeks are coming with all the ideas, and the C students and the bullies are coming by and just beating them up and taking their lunch money.
You're right. Okay, we'll leave that right there just for now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Thunder, the advanced quantum mechanics physicist, and Brad Molnar, the modern health coach. Don't you go anywhere, folks.